Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. To find additional information about Gnosis, such as books, videos, and online courses, or to engage in online discussions, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. This lecture was made possible through the generous support of listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Sat, Sat, Om. Continuing from the three jewels, Tat, Sat, Om. From that three words, the three words, we find that Tat is the absolute, what we call the nothingness. Nothing, which means nothing related with matter, nothing related with energy, but is something else. Unknowable. That's why this is how we call the absolute the unknowable city, which is not a deity. A city is something unknowable. The space, we say the abstract absolute space. Sat in Sanskrit. So there is a mantra that we always pronounce in order to bring the knowledge related with that, which is Tat, Sat, Om. The three mantras that you see are related with that. Mantra Om is a very ancient mantra that is very known in Sanskrit, as well as Tat Sat. From Tat, I believe we have that word in English, that, which means something else. And in Buddhism, the Tathagata, which is a very common word among Buddhists, which means one who hath emerged from suchness, from the emptiness. Of course, our lecture is going to explain about the one who has emerged from suchness that we call the nothingness, which is the abstract, absolute space. For this, of course, it is very good if we have behind our sight the hieroglyphic of the Tree of Life, which explains in detail different aspects at the light of the Kabbalah. As you know, there is a lot of Buddhism within the Gospels of Jesus of Nazareth. A lot of similitudes when you read the Gospels of Buddha or the Gospel of Krishna with Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, the main doctrine written in the Gospels and in the Old Testament of the Bible is based on the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah. And in the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life, we find precisely that word nothing, which is the first aspect of that which is the abstract, absolute space, which in Hebrew is Ein. Something very important here to comprehend, because Ein means nothing, which is exactly the contrary of the word Ani, which in Hebrew means me, I. So when we talk about the self, Ani, it means exactly the opposite of Ein, that which is not. So the nothingness, of course, when we said nothingness, we have to understand that it's something, not that it's completely nothing. I repeat, when we said nothing means nothing related with matter, nothing related to energy, something else that is unknowable, and which is knowable only for the paramartasatyas. This word paramartasatya means absolute cognizance of that. We have stated in other lectures that Jesus of Nazareth, whose name is Avramento, is a paramartasatya, a being that has cognizance of that nothingness. But even him knowing about the nothingness or having cognizance about that, he cannot explain with words to us or to any enlightened being in the universe. Because in order to explain that, he has to use words, terms, symbols, examples from this universe. And by using it, you cannot explain that which is unexplainable with that which is explainable. So therefore, always that remains unknowable for this side of the universe. But our goal, of course, is to return into that Tat. And that's precisely what the word Tathagata means, which is always related to the Buddha, given to the Buddha Gautama. So we have to state that in Gnosticism, we call that CET, which is beyond the universe, in the abstract, absolute space, the Adi Buddha. So the Adi Buddha is from where the Buddha emerges. The Adi Buddha, we will say, is abstract, absolute, uncreated light. Dark light, we will say, in esoteric terms. From that abstract, absolute, the Adi Buddha emerged the light. The light is the first emanation of that abstract space. And this is something very important to comprehend and to understand, because everything that exists in this universe, in the last synthesis, in this very base, is light that we can call energy. Beams of light that emerge from the abstract absolute and they manifest in the universe as cosmic units. This cosmic unit that we are talking here is what we call in Greek words monad, that we told you in other lectures means unity. In the very depth of our selves, for our own consciousness, we have our own particular ray. That ray is what we call Glorian, a word that we use in our books for the publishing, name of the publishing of a company, Glorian. So that Glorian, of course, I repeat, emerges from the Adi Buddha. And from that Glorian, or from it, from within it, we find the three primary forces that are always symbolized in the first triangle of the Tree of Life, of the Kabbalah. So if we imagine that beam of light that emerges from the unknowable, and then we will find a circle. And in the middle of that circle, the triangle, that will be the very point of that light, that beam of light, that is emerging from the abstract, absolute space. The circle itself is that light that carries in its bosom the three primary forces that makes the four marvelous letters, which in Hebrew are called the name of the eternal one, Yod, He, Vav, He, the tetragrammaton. Yod, He, Vav, He. That's the famous tetragrammaton, Yod He Vav He, that symbolizes these four aspects. The beam of light plus the three aspects within it. And that beam of light, we explain, which is the Glorian, emerges in the universe in order to acquire cognizance of its own. And for that, ray needs assistance, needs somebody to teach in the universe what is that ray capable of. And that's why we find, of course, in the universe, these marvelous flames of light that sparkle in the universe, and that we call them cosmocreators. These individuals, or which are also units of light, have developed already all their capabilities, and therefore they are capable of assisting any ray that emerges from the astral space. We will say that those bonfires absorb those beams of light within their bosom in order to assist them. So this is why you have to understand what is called the law of the famous Hepta Paraparshinok, the law of seven. The law that organizes these beams of light in order to fecundate them. In the moment when these beams are absorbed within the bosom of these bonfires, they are fecundated. They impregnate every beam with a spark of their own light. That spark of light is what we call the Buddha, the innermost the spirit, the individual monad, which will help that ray of light to acquire cognizance. So those bonfires become, we will say, their own fathers, their own cosmic fathers. And this is how we understand how we are associated with the universe. Even though we have our own particular ray that emerged from that absolute with the three primary forces in order to create and to develop, we need that particular spark that these bonfires gave us in order through that spark to learn about our capabilities. And this is how we understand how we are related with certain cosmic forces above, and how they little by little engender us with their cognizance and place within our own particular individuality or light certain attributes in order for us to develop that and to return victorious into the same absolute with cognizance of ourselves. So, these beings organize in the descension of that ray into the matter, organize their attributes and place them according to the idiosyncrasy of every ray in order to develop them in action in creation or in evolution within the different dimensions of the universe. The lords of the flame place within that within that spark, which is placed within that beam, they place the cognizance or the consciousness, which is cosmic, in order for that spark to absorb 12 attributes related with that cosmic consciousness. This is what in the Tree of Life is called Geburah, and what we call Budi. So you see, the innermost is the inner Buddha that we receive from these bonfires, sparks. But the consciousness that we receive from the lords of the flame are called Budi, which means wisdom. And these are related with Chokhmah. Remember that every cosmic unit has these three primary forces. Three primary forces are not completely developed, but those cosmic units, which are called cosmocreators, the three primary forces are fully developed. And they place attributes of their own second aspect, which is called Chokhmah, within the monad, within the Buddha of each one of us. It's called Budi. Chokhmah, the second aspect of the three primary forces, is related with the zodiac, while Keter is related with the infinite. So within the infinite, we receive our Buddha. And within the zodiac or the galaxy itself, which is called the macrocosmos, we receive our own Budi. In astrology, always Chokhmah is related with the 12 zodiacal signs. And in different mythologies, they are related with 12 aspects. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, they call it the 12 tribes of Israel. In this case, we had to break the word Israel in order to understand. Because in Hebrew, Ish, or in Kabbalah as well, means fire. Ra is an allusion of solar light. Ra is the Ein Sof Or. Or means light. And El is God in Hebrew. So Israel, the fire of the god Ra. That's the translation. So the 12 tribes of Israel are 12 cosmic attributes that each of our own Buddha have within his own Budi. These 12 cosmic attributes are expiation, love, association, fecundity, faith, willpower, judgment, memory, sympathy, altruism, knowledge, perception. You see, these 12 cosmic faculties are related with buddhi, that we call the spiritual soul or the cosmic soul, the cosmic consciousness. So our own particular Buddha has the duty to develop these 12 faculties. And the development of those 12 faculties is only possible by descending into the lower dimensions and appearing finally in this three-dimensional world. That's why the Old Testament, the Bible, explains that dissension in different ways. In other lectures, we told you that this Buddha, in relation with this type of dissension, is called Abraham, which is the exalted father, translation, which is that innermost inside of us. And that inner buddhi is called Isaac, which is Geburah. The two of them united form that innermost that we have within our own particular Buddha buddhi. Buddhi, Atman buddhi, is how it calls in Sanskrit. But behold here that our own particular Atman buddhi, our own Buddha, our own Abraham Isaac within, is connected with that bonfire. It's a light which is not separated. Fortunately, here in this lower dimension, we feel separated. But when we submerge our consciousness within that Buddha, we discover that we are one with everything. But of course, we are developed according to our own evolution inside. When you enter into any samadhi in meditation, you discover how within that we are one. That's why we denied in the aspect the self. It's impossible to experience the world of Chokhmah with these 12 aspects or attributes being oneself. In that area, when we submerge within that cognizance, with that consciousness, we feel that we are everything. And if we concentrate in one particular unit of that everything, we become that unit. As an example, I will give something that I experienced. Because when I explain this, I experienced that. In meditation, I was trying to comprehend and understand who Krishnamurti was, who was an initiate that was very active and gave many lectures, there are many books about him. He died, of course, and after his death, I was investigating that in meditation. And when I enter in my own particular Satori, Samadhi, within that world of Chokhmah, related with those 12 attributes, I saw myself as being him. I was seated in a chair, or I remember, under a tree, and people around me, and I was giving a lecture. And my English was, of course, as his English, not I'm English that I have here. And I remember very well doing all his mannerism, and I didn't have an atom of doubt that I was him. So when I return into my body after that experience, I said, this is not possible. I am not Krishnamurti. He died a few years ago, and I know that I was alive physically, and he was alive physically. How is this? Then I understood that with the world of that Chokhmah, when somebody reaches that in Samadhi, you can experience every single unit of being, and you don't experience as seeing that being, but being that being himself. So then I understood that it is not self within that world, within that state. So any one of you can experience that by concentrating your mind and entering into that world, concentrating your mind in any being. You will be that. And that is the beauty of that Satori and Samadhi. Of course, our goal is to develop that, not in Satori or Samadhi. In my place, of course, it was wonderful to experience that. But the goal is to experience that every second, every moment. And for that is what we call the self-realization, the realization of that within you. Self-realization means to put your consciousness in that level. Means that you cannot be as you are right now, but you will become everything. So then, of course, that is an aspect of Dharma. Because Dharma, of course, is knowledge, is wisdom, is that we share when we become identified or united with that aspect of ourselves, which is our own particular Buddha. Then we receive the Dharma. So the Dharma, the knowledge, or the goodness of that, could be received in many ways. Physically, mentally, spiritually, consciously, different levels. Our goal, of course, is to receive the whole Dharma. The whole, we will say, emanation of the Absolute. And as we explain, the first emanation of the Absolute is Keter, which in Buddhism is called Dharmakaya. The body of Dharmakaya is the body of Keter, the body of the Father. So that Dharma emerges from the Absolute. And when we self-realize ourselves completely, that Dharma embraces all of the tree of life. That is a completely self-realized unity. When the Dharma enters there. But the Dharma expresses in different ways to the different Buddhas, to the different levels. When that light, beam of light descends from the unknowable, even down into Klipot. Because there is the final journey, Klipot in the ninth sphere. So here, we find that when the Buddhi acquires those 12 attributes, in order to develop that, he needs the assistance of each of the heavens related with the tree of life. When you count Keter to Yesod, which is above Malkut, you find 9 Sephiroth, 9 spheres, which are always related with the 9 heavens. In every religion, you always find 9 heavens related with the tree of life. Where you find the different beings that are developing their 12 attributes in every single sphere. Because the 12 attributes that we name here are attributes, cosmic attributes, that you have to develop in the physical plane, in the vital plane, in the emotional plane, in the mental plane, in the plane of willpower, the plane of the divine consciousness within the innermost and the three primary forces. They had to develop what we call the world of Yetzirah. The world of Yetzirah is the world of the angels, which are related with nine heavens, which are named, of course, in Kabbalah. So therefore, in order to acquire those attributes, the lords of the flame give another gift to that Buddha. And that precisely what we call willpower. What in Sanskrit is called superior manas, the superior mind. A mind which is not like the mind that we have here, that will comprehend completely and develop that 12 attributes by the activity of itself within the lower dimensions. And that's why part of that willpower of the Buddha descends from that level and passes through the heavens to finally enter into the planetary sun, which is physical world. In other words, to enter into this physical matter. That particle is what is named in Buddhism the Tathagata Garbha, which is the embryo of that Tathagata, which is our own particular Buddha, our own particular divinity. That embryo of soul is the one that descends from above to the nine heavens and enters into the matter. That matter in Sanskrit is what is called the kingdom, Malkut, the physical world, or the wheel of samsara. Here in the wheel of samsara, we find, of course, what in Kabbalah is called Asya, which means the world of matter and action. So the world of matter and action is Asya, which many times is confused with the continent of Asia in many books which are translated from the Kabbalah into English. But the world is Asya. Of course, the world of Asya is what in the Old Testament in the Bible called Matharim, Egypt. So Egypt is a symbol of the whole planet Earth, where all the 12 attributes descend through the Tathagata Garbha in order to develop. It is what called the 12 tribes of Israel in exile into Egypt. Means into our own particular Egypt. Matharim, Malkut, Asya. When we talk about this, of course we talk about the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and finally the human kingdom. Because remember that in Buddhism we state that the Buddha nature is not only in the human body, it's in the animals, is in the plants, is in the mineral. Because that Buddha nature has to start to learn how to express those 12 attributes, cosmic attributes, from the very bottom of Asya, the matter, the world of samsara. And that is what is called evolution. The evolution from the mineral kingdom. Of course, in the mineral kingdom, other hierarchies help those beings of light with already 12 attributes and already impregnated by the nine heavens to develop those attributes under the guidance of the angels of Yetzirah. The angels of Yetzirah are the angels, the hierarchies of the nine heavens that instruct each one of these Buddhas or spiritual entities that need to develop that. So therefore they receive what we explain in many lectures, the protoplasmic bodies, which are related with the inferior manas, a type of mind that will help to develop that mechanically, of course, under the guidance of the angels, devas, masters, instructors, you name them, units that already have that wisdom, that knowledge. So therefore, when we investigate the mineral kingdom, we discover within the rocks those entities that we call monads, and that we name them elementals. For every single elemental is dressed with those protoplasmic bodies that are newly born, and that the Tathagata Garbha, the embryo of soul, is activating under the guidance of the monad, which abides in the higher dimensions. There is a connection, perfect connection. You see, the inner Buddha and the Buddhi with the 12 attributes impregnate the forces from above to the nine heavens, to that Tathagata Garbha. And the angels of Yetzirah instruct the embryo of soul, the elementals, and their evolution in order to learn how to manage those forces. Of course, they are collective beings that need assistance. They are learning like students. And that is what we call the Sangha. A collective groups, a community of beings that are learning that under the guidance of the angels in the mineral kingdom. These elementals are known in esotericism as gnomes and pygmies of the earth, of the mineral kingdom. There are many, and they act accordingly in their protoplasmic bodies, according with the commands of the angels that control them and teach them. If you enter in meditation in the forest to investigate those beings, you discover different schools or temples, if you want, where those angels are instructing these elementals and put it in activity. Those 12 attributes that we name here in relation with the nine heavens. That's called the Dharma. And they receive the Dharma. They live in happiness. But of course, the capacity or capability of the 12 attributes are infinite. So they have to learn little by little by acting in the elements. And what you see that the elements in this material world that we call, of course, in synthesis, fire, water, air, and earth, ether, other elements, are being maneuvered by those elementals that are guidance, that are, guided by superior beings. By action, you see, that's why the world of Asya is called the world of matter in action. Through action is how they learned to apply the Dharma, which means the force from above, into the lower, in their community, which is called Sangha. So each individual is a Buddha that is applying the Dharma in the Sangha, in communities. It is beautiful to see those beings when they enter into a higher level of the kingdom, which is called the kingdom of the plants. There, the body is more evolved. And of course, the transformation of the Dharma, or the forces that come from above in those beautiful bodies of the plants, is performed, is done, thanks to the protoplasmic bodies that are already evolved. We will say more adult. So in the kingdom of the plants, we find also families. Families of different trees or different plants that gather. They have their own particular sangha in the inner dimensions of nature. They reunite. And they also channel forces in the physical plane and control the world of matter and action according to the intelligence of superior beings. That's why, for instance, you read in the Bible, and not only in the Bible, but in other books, how the great masters that enter in contact and develop their attributes as human beings, they obviously control the 12 attributes of the lower beings which are under them and can perform marvels with nature. This is what in many books of mythology are called magic. There is nothing that to influence your willpower in the lower kingdoms which are handled or manipulated by elementals, by lower Buddhas. So here you find that the master Samael Om Veor wrote two books, Igneous Rose and Occult Medicine and Practical Magic, related with the magic of nature, in which those inner beings and the Buddhas are learning how to put in activity those attributes, or how to utilize the intelligence of the plants in order to help, according to the law, of course. Because all of that is, you see, when you apply the plants or minerals in certain way that we call magic, as you read always in many books, different type of magic, but it's simple the way in which you command or know how to control the superior forces in order to apply the Dharma, the superior forces, according to the law. Because always these forces that you have to know how to obey is not like black magicians that go and perform things without consulting, without permission of superior forces. Because there are two ways in order to control that. In Buddhism and in other religions, they know how to develop certain powers in order to command the elementals. And then the elementals obey, because they obey the angels and obey any superior force that can command them. But the angels always obey the law, and they do it according to the Dharma, or the force that comes from Keter, even from the Adi Buddha. But black magicians, they don't care about anything. They just do it by their own whim and cause what we call karma. Because when you apply forces without permission, you create karma, which is the opposite of that Dharma. Of course, in the animal kingdom, you also find families. Families of cats. I remember now that I'm talking about cats. A friend of mine that had experience the lovely cat that she always loved a lot. So when she was going out in the astral plane, she was always chasing that cat, and the cat was guiding her to his own sangha. And finally, when she was arriving, there were a lot of cats and one angel instructing them, a superior being if you want. And she was always telling me, I go there, I follow, and I found all of them. Of course, there are many cats. There might be not only one sangha, but many sanghas of different cats, I believe, and different parts of the of nature. But every single animal who is in evolution always has that guidance. It is how the Buddha, the inner Buddha, is learning and developing. But the final goal, of course, is to reach the human kingdom. Or in other words, to receive a physical body capable of developing those 12 attributes, capable of working consciously, and developing that independently, not collectively. Because collectively is something that in evolution is always applied in the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom. But only in the humanoid kingdom or intellectual animal kingdom is the opportunity to abandon communities in order to develop individuality. But when I said individuality means the capacity of doing your 12 attributes to the nine heavens without the intervention, but only of your inner particular individual God or inner Buddha. Of course, for that, nature gives you, as we always explain, 108 opportunities. Those 108 opportunities, if you multiply 12 attributes through the nine heavens, by the nine heavens, you attain 108, which are the bits of the Buddha's necklace. Has 108 bits. Symbolize precisely that. That you had to develop the 12 attributes in relation with the nine heavens. Your own particular Buddha had to do that. That's the explanation, of course, in a human kingdom. That's why it is said that the hierarchies gave us 108. Because in each life, we receive certain forces, influences, for the 12 attributes, the 12 tribes, the zodiacal belt, to the nine heavens. That if we take advantage in life, we develop. That's the purpose of what we call return. Of course, the protoplasmic bodies, in the level in which we are, receive also those forces, because the Dharma is received through the protoplasmic bodies that are evolving. Problem is when we enter into the human kingdom, because then the protoplasmic bodies start to devolve, because everything in this world of Asya, the world of Samsara, has a beginning and an end. And of course, the physical body that you receive every time is being born, grows up, get adult, get old, dies, and goes to the grave, disintegrates. But the protoplasmic bodies that comes from the mineral kingdom and evolving from the plant kingdom into the animal kingdom and finally into the human kingdom, when reach the human kingdom, they start to devolve. And when they devolve, they no longer serve for the Dharma, but becomes a burden for the consciousness. Because then the protoplasmic bodies start to channel lunar forces, which are related with devolution, and sinking the protoplasmic bodies into the lower 9 layers of Klipoth, what religions are called infernal or infernus, inferior, the 9 layers of hell, which are symbolized in different ways, in different religions. So in other words, in the beginning, in evolution, the protoplasmic bodies are helping us and we receive Dharma. But in this level in which we are right now, we cannot depend anymore on the protoplasmic bodies because they start to devolve. So therefore, the great hierarchies intervene and start teaching us how to build solar bodies that will continue the development of the 12 attributes in the 9 heavens of Yetzirah. That's simple. This is what it is. In order to enter, that's why in the Gospel of Jesus, he says, if you are not being born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is the 9 heavens of Yetzirah, which are above Malkut, the world of matter in action, you cannot enter there with your protoplasmic bodies and keeping the development of your 12 attributes to the 9 heavens, which is the goal. Because nature will engulf, destroy, annihilate, eventually, the protoplasmic bodies. So therefore, we have to create an astral emotional solar body, a mental solar body, and a causal solar body, which will serve us as vehicles in order to keep that development of our own particular individual Buddha. And that's the main thing. Because in this physical world, of course, there are different communities that receive the knowledge, the Dharma, from the beings or enlightened individuals that reach already the enlightenment. And many groups start and do efforts and learn to develop those attributes of the 9 heavens with the protoplasmic bodies by controlling them with the development of the 12 attributes. Of course, in a certain level, you can acquire that. It is the case, of course, of this great yogi, will be always put as an example, Yogananda, Parahamsa Yogananda. He started activating the 12 attributes in relation with the 9 heavens with the protoplasmic bodies. And he achieved a lot of enlightenment, a lot of awakening of his own consciousness. But unfortunately, the protoplasmic bodies cannot be taken into the kingdoms of heaven because they belong to nature. So therefore, he needed to create the solar bodies, but he refused to create them because he thought that just by doing the job that he was doing by himself, it was enough. The result was that he went to limbo, the first sphere of hell. When you find those individuals that walk a lot in their inner consciousness, the attributes of their inner Buddha, but without solar bodies, they reach only a certain level of development. Because in order to develop the whole Buddha nature within you, you need to create the solar bodies. Now let us put example of the master, the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama created his solar bodies in previous ages, He was born, of course, it was named the Dalai Lama, but he didn't come enlightened Buddha or the level that he is right now in this life. He reincarnated in previous lives. So he created the solar astral body, the solar mental body, and the solar causal body in other lives. As well as this Hindu Krishnamurti, he did it also in past lives. There are many initiates that did it in past lives. But when we investigate all the lamas of Buddhism, not all of them have astral bodies. Most of them have protoplasmic bodies that eventually will be disintegrated, because those protoplasmic bodies have to die as the physical body dies. But of course the process is different. So in order to continue, that's why it is the Dharma teaches, the Tantra. Which is the knowledge that we Gnostics teach a lot in different lectures about Tantrism, or the superior aspect of Tantra, which is between men and woman, in order to engender within you the solar bodies. Because nobody can go up to heaven with protoplasmic bodies. And this is something that you have to comprehend. When we say, for instance, you can awake your consciousness with protoplasmic bodies. But of course, there is something else within those protoplasmic bodies, and that something else is that we call ego, which is a false creation. Because in this human kingdom, we commit a lot of mistakes. And we fortify animal elements from the animal kingdom, and we create others, which give us psychological aggregates, meaning something else that shouldn't be there, but we have. And of course, the great knowledge teaches that we have to disintegrate those psychological aggregates in order to liberate the consciousness and to develop those 12 attributes. That's the only way. So the law of seven is precisely the law that takes us little by little into the higher levels. We need to walk the mountain of initiation. And for that, of course, we have the physical body, which is a gift, really. Because this physical body that we have is the outcome of millenarian transformations. Different problems, errors that the superior beings made in the laboratory of nature, in order to finally acquire or to create this body that we have. You see, this physical body is not that many people think that was created just by dint of magic. It's the outcome of evolution. Not only the evolution in this physical world as human beings, it's coming from the mineral kingdom as a simple germ, and evolving in the physical plane until reaching the level in which we are right now. This physical body has what we call the 12 glands, main glands that connect us to the 12 apostles of Jesus of Nazareth. These 12 apostles, or 12 main glands in the physical body, are connected to the 12 attributes, cosmic attributes. The goal of self-realization is to activate every apostle or every spiritual attribute in the physical body and the internal bodies in order to completely to develop the enlightenment Buddha within us. So here now, this nature, thanks to the development of evolution through different eons, we have the physical body, even though the physical body right now is devolving and is decaying, still have within the glands that if we put in activity, the sexual energy will develop those 12 attributes. The pineal gland, the pituitary gland, the thyroid gland, the thymus gland, the suprarenal, sexual glands, etc. Let me tell you how the what are these 12 main glands in the physical body. Pineal, suprarenal, pancreas, thymus, thyroid, pituitary, the brain. But the brain is divided in two. The right side and the left side of the brain. Then we have the medulla oblongata, where we have the hindbrain, the appendix, the sacrum in the sexual glands. The sacrum itself is ready with what we call the uterus in the woman and the prostate in the man. The 12 apostles of Jesus Christ are related to each one of these 12, as we already mentioned and taught in certain lectures in the past. The development of these 12 glands are related with certain plexi that we have and which are connected with what in Sanskrit are called chakras. Of course, the only way to develop that 12 attributes in the physical body is by transmuting the sexual energy. This is the only energy that can put in activity the 12 attributes, beginning with the physical plane, the physical body. The physical body itself, of course, is a marvelous laboratory that attracts forces, as we mentioned in other lectures. The physical body is directly connected with the superior Buddha, where we find the three primary forces, Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three logos. And they are connected with the three nervous systems that we have in the physical body. So when you investigate your physical body, the three nervous systems are the three rays from our own particular superior gloriane that manifests in the physical body. And of course, the seven main chakras or churches in the spinal column that represent the lower sephiroth of the tree of life. That's why in Gnosticism, we state that the tree of life is the spinal column. And it's simple because in the spinal column, we have the three nervous systems. The grand or the central nervous system, which is called also cerebral spinal nervous system, which is the vehicle of Keter, the first primary force. Then the grand sympathetic nervous system, which is the channel of the secondary force called Chokhmah. And the parasympathetic or vagus, which is the channel of the force that called the Holy Spirit, Binah. So there we find the three aspects of the first triangle in our physical body. And then in the spinal column, we have seven magnetic centers, which John the Divine called in the book of Revelation the seven churches of Asia. Being Asia, of course, our own particular matter. So the seven churches supply these three nervous systems. In total, there are 10, which represents the 10 sephiroth, which are our own particular spinal column, the tree of life. By putting in activity, by awakening these magnetic centers, is how we start activating the different parts of our buddhi and our atman, or our Buddha, by extracting the elements that we already conquered and delivered them to our own Buddha. What are those elements that we already conquered? Remember that we are in the human kingdom. If we are in the human kingdom, it's because we already conquered the animal kingdom, plant kingdom, and mineral kingdom. Even we say in a mechanical way. But by activating and awakening in our own individuality, those forces, we give the stratum of our own development to our own Buddha. And that is what is called the first initiation of major mysteries. When the individual extracts all of that experience that he lived through millennia, eons, in the different kingdoms, inferior kingdoms of nature, through the transmutation to Tantra. Of course, the fire of the Holy Ghost, called Kundalini, that rises in the spinal column, give us precisely those powers. We said give us, we are referring to identifying ourselves with our own Buddha. The Buddha and the Buddhi extract that, and this is how we say a new master is being born in the superior worlds that enter into the line of individuality that guides the Buddhas to Nirvana. Because that's the goal of our own Buddha nature, to enter into Nirvana. Of course, the entrance into Nirvana is possible only with solar bodies, not with protoplasmic bodies. Even though we, through samadhis, satoris, and many practices, we can experience Nirvana. But to reach that level and stay there as a citizen, we need vehicles. Or as the Master Jesus stated in the Bible, we have to be born again to create with chastity the internal solar bodies. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, after we achieve the conquering of the physical body, and then we enter into the superior aspect of the physical body, our own particular inner Buddha has to conquer that vital aspect of the physical body, and then our own particular Buddha has to conquer the emotional aspect of his own individuality. Then the mental aspect of his own individuality, and finally reaching, of course, the willpower, his own willpower. This is what the Bible calls to create the man into the image of God. The development of that, little by little, until one reaches the world of Tiferet. Of course, not because one reaches the world of Tiferet, we will say that the image of God is completely developed. Just one step. When we reach this level, it's because we have already the three solar bodies created. We call the astral, the mental, and the causal bodies. And then we have the right to be called human beings. Before that, we are not human beings. We are just beings in process, if we are practicing. Because it's impossible to call a human being somebody with protoplasmic bodies. That's why in Gnosticism we call somebody with protoplasmic bodies humanoid or intellectual anima, which means soul, intellectual animal. An anima, a soul that requires intellect, but still needs to reach the level of human being, even though we have the body with all the attributes, but we have to develop them. When one reaches the level of the creation of the solar bodies and Tiferet, and then that Buddha needs to work very seriously, as the Buddha Gautama Sakyamuni teaches us, he needs to sit down at the foot of the Bodhi tree in order to fight Mara and his legions. Of course, that is an illusion of the protoplasmic bodies that we need to annihilate, to disintegrate, plus the psychological aggregate that we created with our ignorance, that we have in abundance. To disintegrate that is important for the newborn. You see here we say the newborn, because in Christianity there is a lot of preaching about to be born again. And you talk, for instance, with any Christian of any denomination, and they call the saints a newborn Christian. We will say, symbolically, they are newborn Christian, because everything is symbology. But concretely, factually, they are not. Because in order to be a newborn Christian, you need to create the astral body, the mental solar body, and the causal solar body, and to reach the world of Tifereth. And then there you are celebrated internally in the temples as a newborn, a new Buddha. He says, the new Buddha is born, entering into Nirvana. And those individuals are the ones that have to meditate more in order to annihilate the protoplasmic bodies. Because if you do not annihilate the protoplasmic bodies plus the psychological aggregates, which are animal, and then you are in the danger of creating a double center of gravity, two centers of gravity, one above and one below. And that is what in esoteric terms is called hanasmus. An individual that reached the level of newborn, but meanwhile has still ego within. Remember that in Gnosticism we say that there are many types of hanasmus, hanasmusen, which is plural. Because in synthesis, all of us, we are hanasmusen. Because we have spirituality, superior forces, and that are in developing, and at the same time we have animal defects in the protoplasmic bodies. As long as we have protoplasmic bodies, we are hanasmus. This is what the master Samael Onveor explains. If a master is newly born but still keeps the protoplasmic bodies, he is a hanasmus. Of course, the disintegration of the protoplasmic bodies is an initiation. It's very painful. And it is represented in the drama of the cross of Jesus. The way in which little by little you are annihilating all of those elements until reaching the level of human being into the image of God. There's a process, long process. It's not like Christians think, like just by slapping your finger and believing in Jesus, you are a newborn, and then you go ready to the kingdom of heaven. No. It's a long process. Long work that we have to do. Sometimes takes many lives. But, of course, you are always assisted. As in the lower level, you were assisted as an elemental. Here in the solar way, when you enter into the different steps, you are also assisted by masters. In every single step, the masters of the nine heavens and beyond assist you internally because you want to become a human being. And they know that there is the development of the 12 attributes to the nine heavens. That's why the Master Samael wrote a book, The Three Mountains, where he explained how he developed the nine heavens within through to serious work and alchemical work until becoming an enlightened Buddha, or he says, a Buddha Maitreya. So behold here how we have to comprehend and understand how the Buddha is related with each one of us, and how the Dharma is also, because the Dharma that we teach here in the Gnostic school is the outcome of the development and the wisdom of Samael on Veor. This is on Dharma. But of course, we have the Sangha, different groups in the physical plane. But the main Sangha that we want to belong to is the internal one. As the elementals reunite in different Sanghas in the internal dimensions, in which are innocent creatures that are guided by the angels, as well, in the level that we are talking here, when you start working and being serious, practical, and then you enter into the internal Sangha, and you start receiving the Dharma, not only physical, but internal, your own particular development. That is your own particular Dharma, for the development of your own Buddha. It's a process. Of course, there are many ways to develop that after you reach the second birth. And this is precisely the point also that I want to aim. When you reach the second birth, which is the world of Tiferet, then the newly born Buddha can choose two ways to keep. Talking, of course, in the alchemical aspect. It's called the dry path or the wet path. What is the dry path? The dry path is the path that the Dalai Lama is walking, meaning only being single, working himself. He has already the solar bodies, and he annihilates little by little his animal aspect, the protoplasmic bodies, in a very low, lower step. But the other masters, they want to work quickly. And that is called the wet path, which is related with Tantra, in which they utilize sexual magic after the second birth in order to annihilate the psychological aggregates very fast and to acquire the different levels of Yetzirah and beyond. So you have the choice, because you have your own will, to take the dry path after the second birth or the wet path. But nobody can choose the dry path before being born again. And this is something that is a big mistake in Buddhism and Christianity and other religions, that they start being in celibacy and they reject the opposite sex, thinking that that is the way. That is the way, the dry path, only for those that reach Tiferet. That is called Brahmacharya. So in other words, there are two types of Brahmacharyas. The lunar one, which is related to those that have lunar bodies, protoplasmic bodies, that they reject sex, thinking that they can realize their own Buddha by rejecting sex. Yogananda is what he took, the right path, but was lunar because he didn't have solar bodies. The other one that took the right path in this sense was the Mahatma Gandhi. Both of them didn't have solar bodies. Logical is for the Dalai Lama to take the right path because he has already his solar bodies. But those monks that take the right path without having solar bodies, well, it's illogical. Because sooner or later they had to enter into the wet path. You had to create in order to choose that path. But not beforehand. Beforehand is like the saying that says that you want to ride the horse without putting the chair on it. First, you put the chair on the horse and then you ride it. Or the saddle.
Yeah.
When you use the saddle, you sit in it, the chair. So, do you follow me? Do you understand this, the aspects? Right? Of course, is more involved in it. But this is in relation with the three jewels. The first is the Buddha. It's a jewel that you developed little by little with your own efforts. The second is the Dharma that you also acquire, that jewels, in different levels. And the Sangha, which you belong to different groups according to your own level, according to your own development. For instance, there is a higher Sangha in the internal worlds that is called the Rosicrucians. The Rosicrucians in the internal worlds are only resurrected masters. That's the real Sangha of the Rosicrucians. Today belong Count of Saint Germain, Cagliostro, Jesus of Nazareth, and all the resurrected masters. They belong to that. But to call somebody here in this physical world a Rosicrucian without being a resurrected master is really just like a compliment, like when a Christian says, I am a newborn Christian. It's okay. Symbolically, maybe you are. Rosicrucian, symbolically maybe you are. Gnostic, symbolically maybe you are. But really and truthfully, just by reaching the level that you had to reach in order to be in that particular Sangha. Do you have questions? Yeah.
But in terms of attributes, 12 attributes, are we born under the same sign, every existence?
Well, the question is, if we belong to the same ray after we are engendered, after we come from the Absolute, do we are born in different signs after we reach the humanoid kingdom? Of course. We have to get rounded. You see, in this physical humanoid kingdom, we have to get rounded. That's why in certain incarnations in the physical world, we are born in different signs and we receive the influence of different heavens. I repeat, that is what first 12 multiplied by 9 is what we said 108, which are related with the development of the Buddhahood internal, with that Buddha necklace, the symbolism. And in order to receive those attributes and the influence of the higher Buddhas or enlightened masters, we need to incarnate in certain signs. Sometimes we don't develop those particular attributes of that sign in only one life, and we need more lives. Yes? Well, above is explaining about what the different worlds of the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life, when we start Kabbalah, we study four worlds. Asya, which is the world of matter in action, in which we are. Yetzirah, which is the one that we talk today in relation with the development of the inner Buddha. But beyond that, of course, when you reach resurrection, you enter into the world of Bria, which is above Yetzirah. That is a world within which the cosmos creators develop. And beyond that, the world of Atziluth, of course, implies the development of the tree of life and the higher levels, higher realms, which are related also with the 12 attributes. That's why the Master Samael wrote the three mountains. And he says, in synthesis, the 12 works of Hercules are related with those 12 attributes. And also the Buddha is in relation with the 12 works or tasks. The 12. These are the 12 attributes. Those are developed, you know, from the lower levels to the higher levels. It doesn't mean because you reach the higher level of Yetzirah, you're already done. No. After you enter into Ibriya, then you keep developing that. The goal is to reach the level of Paramartha Satya, which is a complete, fully development of all the consciousness related with the Absolute. Another question?
What?
Adi. Well, that is in relation with the light. Or the uncreated light, Adi Buddha, the Buddha of the light.
Uncreated
light, of course. Light which is not created by any god or any Buddha. It's uncreated. It's related with the absolute, with the abstract, absolute space. Yeah. The Ein Sof Or. Light. Well, yeah, the protoplasmic, no, was solar. The protoplasmic bodies are always lunar, mechanical. They are, of course, working with the solar forces, with the Dharma, in a positive way. In other words, we'll say it, a full moon that acts accordingly with the superior laws. But remember that the moon works in two ways, positive and negative. So when we reach the level of humanoid, those protoplasmic bodies start to devolve. And they receive as a last gift for creation or evolution, the intellect. The intellect reasoning is the last, the summit of the evolution of the protoplasmic bodies. And of course, for that intellect or reasoning, you need a brain. So the development of the brain, the physical world, is precisely what we have that is in tone with that intellect. Unfortunately, with the intellect, we start making difference between right and wrong. And we start learning about it. And then we start committing a lot of mistakes. Because sometimes, you know, that's why the great masters gave us commandments, rules to follow in order not to create defects, but we start acting according to our own whim, and then we start creating or fortifying defects, animal defects, until the moment in which now we have a lot of ego, which is a false creation that we created because of our mistakes. So before, of course, in the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom, you don't find the ego. So, I mean, maybe in the animal kingdom you start seeing the ego a little bit, but maybe 1%, because they still obey the rules, the laws of nature. But here, in this level in which we are, we break all the rules. And this is precisely the chaos which we are right now. Because we are accustomed to break rules. And we think that we have the right to do it. And we justify that. So therefore, it's because we created within this false psychological aggregate called ego. And that is the outcome of devolution, decaying.
Question?
What happens if one of your glands is damaged, like when people have their appendix removed?
Well, you can work with the other glands. Remember, what happens when the appendix is removed is the question.
For example,
there are many individuals that, because in this day and age, unfortunately, the so-called, between quotations, medical science doesn't cure, only mutilate, takes organs out. That is not to cure, that is to mutilate. And then damaging the beautiful organism that we have. Every single gland is there for a purpose. But if for our bad luck, it was cut, operated, we still can do a lot of work. Because there is always the opportunity to receive a new body in order to keep our work. Yeah, blood transfusion is another question here. Blood transfusion, that sometimes we're getting AIDS because of blood transfusion. Well, this is the karma of this humanity, really. But if you start doing your work seriously, the master assists you and give you a new, brand new body. If they see that you are working psychologically in you and doing what you can do. But if you are just there, crossing your arms, doing nothing, just waiting for a new body, then maybe you won't receive anything.
And this could go past 108 lives.
Oh, yeah. 108 lives is normal, but it's always exceptions, which go beyond, and sometimes that don't even reach the 108. Well, if you are so degenerated and killing people, going into the malls and aiming people and killing, you think that soul will receive a new body so he can go and kill more people like that? No.
It's the law.
It's the law. Yeah, he will receive a new body, physical body, but not intellectual. You see, because 108 lives means physical bodies. But then take you the intellect or can be born really with mental retardation. In order to accomplish 108, but not to do evil, because many people in this day and age are doing a lot of evil, killing just for the fun of killing. Those souls cannot receive new bodies. It will be unjust. So this is the law. And that's why this knowledge is given so freely right now, because we need it. Explaining it in detail, initially, in order for us not to have any excuse, because we are in the times of the end. Do you have another question? No more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And have
the presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help humanity discover the sacred wisdom that leads to liberation from suffering. Make a donation to Telema Press. Visit GnosticTeachings.org for details. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.